Okay, well, welcome back to the Irish Am podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by Ryan Griffin. So we're going to chat a little bit about Ryan and what his plans are for 2024. And we'll also be doing a couple of recaps throughout the year. So there's a couple of players involved in this, and I think it's going to be something that you, the audience, will get great interest in. And seeing how these players, I suppose, cope with pressure and what they do to prepare for tournaments. So without further ado, Ryan, welcome to the pod, my man.
Thanks, guys. You all good?
Happy all to good, be here, all good. You had a nice day yesterday over in Callaway.
Yesterday over in Archerfield was unbelievable. The treatment we have, it's kind of an insight into how the professionals get treated. Mm. And it's absolutely unbelievable. We got on the truck and kind of had a little tour of it and just a little look-see. They kind of showed us just how well them guys get looked after. And they had John Rahm's wages sitting there. I think he'll pick them up now in Augusta or wherever they see him next. And it's just crazy to kind of see them things. But it's kind of a real insight, like I say, into how the tour players get treated and something to aim towards.
Yeah, 100%. I suppose it's like everything else, but the goals are getting good at something. Like, there's always massive rewards at the end of it. So, and I suppose something like this was kicking off the pod. Where would you like to be in 12 months in regards to your golf?
In regards to my golf, 12 months from here, I'd like to be really knocking on the door of in around top 200 and Wagger or something like that. It's an achievable goal because it's you kind of have to really understand the Wagger golf system to really know how to get low on it, but at the same time, if you just play good enough golf, then you're going to come down the rankings. So it would take care of it itself. But that would be a real nice thing to be able to kind of say in 12 months' time. But hopefully have a few trophies under the belt at that stage as well.
And what are you ranked currently?
I think it was in around 900 or something like that there whenever I checked last.
Okay, so I suppose looking at that, we'll say as the long-term goal, so what's kind of some small steps that you'll be looking at towards achieving that one?
Small steps, now the final of the student tour series coming up now 2 weeks' time over in St. Andrews, mm-hmm. And thankfully sitting at the top of the order merit leaderboard in that, but it's extremely tight, so it's points and a half in St. Andrews, so it's anybody's game, but okay. You're going to have to go over. And thankfully, I've been lucky enough to play St. Andrews a few times. Last time I was there, I think I shot around 65 in the old course in the Boyd Quake. So I've good memories in St. Andrews. Managed to win the Order of Merit there last year. So it's really exciting to get back and hopefully able to replicate last year as well. And hopefully all goes well that Kate is able to do the same in the ladies. And we have two Maynooth students coming out on top.
Yeah. And I suppose a reward for that one is Parma Cup, something that you got to play in last year. And I suppose it's going to be an extremely special time around this time in Lahinch, isn't it?
It'll be unbelievable. Last year, whenever I won it, it didn't really sink in about Parma Cup because I didn't really know what to expect. I knew about it and I heard the stories and how good it was, but you have to experience it yourself.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's in Lahinch this year, Lahinch is probably my favorite golf course in the entire country, and everything about it's just class. So it'd just be unbelievably special to get down there playing for the international side down there against the US.
Lahinch is a bold statement considering where you grew up, isn't it?
I sure is. it's God's country, you know, Gary. It's God's country. Lahinch is really special, and one of the things I really like about Lahinch is because it is kind of down nearly the other side of the country, so we don't really get a lot of chances to get down there because it is so far away. So anytime we do get down there, then it's always an absolute treat.
Yeah, 100%. And I suppose that was kind of a bit of a side note, but Lahinch is Lahinch, the south, and just in general, the town, the way it rolls into the course, it's a magical place. But I suppose back to then what we're talking about. So we'll say last year, so a really strong year last year. You, as you said, you won the Order of Merit, which happens a bit earlier, and played good golf here as well. But at the back end of the year, what was the one thing when you sat down with your coaches at the end of the year, did you look at and say, okay, I want to get better at this?
Big thing I kind of got into last year, which is something I think all players do get into whenever they kind of reach that level of high performance, that really easy to fall into it, and it's kind of thinking golf swing rather than golf shot.
Yeah.
And you get kind of bogged down in the moment of making sure your swing looks a specific way in specific positions. And granted, that all has its place. But whenever you're standing over a shot, you just can't be thinking of them things, and you just have to have the actual visualization of the shot you're trying to hit in the back of your mind. And I think that's something that I kind of struggled with at the back end of last year.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've been really working on now this year, starting out. And I've kind of seen the results of that. So like the last two tournaments we had in the student series, I finished second in Portugal, and I finished, well, tied third in France, but that was only because it was as good as second, because only lost out by a shot.
Yeah.
But then a decent showing in Spanish Am then as well, just outside the top 10.
Yeah.
It's all a work in progress, and it's really nice to see them results so early in the season.
So stop thinking about how good your swing looks on Gary's Instagram page and just focus on the shot. Like,
I don't know if anyone uses the word good or not, guys. The ball flight looks good enough sometimes.
Yeah, the ball flight anyway, definitely. The swing looks good too, in fairness, yeah. But I suppose, how do you go about working on that stuff then?
So I study psychology in college here. So I think the mental side of the game is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can kind of figure out your own patterns, then it makes the game so much easier. And like, it's a real personal thing, because you just kind of have to figure out what works for you. And everyone's going to be different. So you kind of just have to figure out your own routine and your own mental routine stepping into each shot, which is something that we've worked with Donald Scott on. And he's phenomenal in that area.
I suppose, like, routines and stepping into shots. So, like, what's your kind of drill? So, like, what are you doing to kind of set up your pre-shot routine? Like, is that just going to be, like, you're going to have two or three cues every time out? Like,
yeah. So, like, standing over the ball, you're going to think, or stand behind the ball, you're going to be thinking where kind of the everything, lie, wind, temperature, all this sort of stuff. And you're going to take all that into account before you actually step under the golf shot. Because if you're kind of thinking of all that other stuff over the ball, then you're not going to be able to make as committed a swing as you could. I think it was Foxy. He's like, you're better being committed to the wrong decision than kind of half-assed at the right decision, which is completely, completely true. Because yep. The guy that makes more committed golf shots is the guy that's going to come out on top every single time.
100%. I think that's a good nugget for anyone kind of listening as well, is that, like, I suppose an average golfer like myself, we just tend to walk up, bang out a laser and hit a shot, like, and that's kind of all you're... Well, you mightn't have so much thought over the ball, we kind of don't have a lot of thought before it either, so, like, where it ends up is just kind of pure chance, but certainly getting it measured that way. So I suppose the next three tournaments for you, Ryan, because we'll probably catch up, I'm going to guess, after them or kind of around that point. So you mentioned the Student Tour Series final in St. Andrews. What's after that for you?
We'll be playing Lytham Trophy then at the start of May.
Yeah.
And we're heading up to Ross's Point then for the Irish Amateur. So those will be the next three tournaments. And then there's a few scratch cups and whatnot then through there. So they're the three main ones.
So for you then, what would success look like for you at the end of that three tournament spell, we'll say?
Main one is want to make that Palmer Cup team. Like, it is... The biggest thing on my mind, because you know how unbelievable it all is, and you just know that it'll be absolutely surreal to get down there.
Mm.
So that's number one. Lytham Trophy is a great chance to really showcase all the work that you've done throughout the winter time and whatnot, and really put that into practice on such a tough golf course.
Yeah.
So it'll be great to have a top 10 on. And then the Ross's Point, they have a good record around Ross's Point. I think it's a great golf course. So, like, the fact that the Irish Am's there is just unbelievable to kind of do well in that as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a different test, the Irish Am, like, being the Irish Am, I suppose, there versus, like, the West, like, stroke play around there a bit later in the year. I think, like, it's like, Ross's love amateur golf, like, they absolutely love it up there. So, like, there's no doubt that they're going to put a lot of work into it. So, it'll definitely be a great event. And I suppose, like, even with your long-term goals here, like, so, like, if you're talking Palmer Cup and Wagger, like, Lytham and Irish Am are probably going to be two of the bigger events that you're going to tee it up in the year for that purpose as well, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that's one of the things about Wagga is that they kind of have to be doing well in the big events.
Mm.
And because the student series, it's great for us, but because a few of the people playing them don't have Wagga, the rankings of it kind of just plummet to the ground.
Yeah.
So it's great to kind of get the stats up like on wins and top fives and whatnot. But if you're just kind of making playing on them, then it's not going to ever kind of go down too much if you get
it. Yeah. And I suppose that we mentioned at the very start, you got a lovely trip in the Callaway truck. So what's your own setup at the moment? So what's in the bag for you? What's the driver? No Callaway gear, I'm guessing.
I've about 20 clubs in the bag at the moment. But,
any left-handed ones, no?
I actually got a few there for you, I guess. But so driver, three-wood. So I'll have the driver and three-wood kind of permanently in the bag, and then kind of move between hybrid, 2-iron and 3-iron.
Okay.
So just depending on the course and whatnot, then you'll kind of chop and change between those. Then it's just like 4-iron and down to through your wedges. And got a real nice one of the AI1 11 tee putters, I think it is.
Okay.
So like we got to talking to guy Seamus yesterday as well on the turf rock. He's been working on the turf for nearly 30 years, and he's kind of able to explain the putter head shapes and styles that would work for your specific stroke.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really cool to get that information and get suited a putter that is suited to you, basically.
Yeah, I suppose then like having all of the right tools, getting the mindset ready, I suppose like massive keys to the year coming up. But what does an average day for Ryan Griffin look like in terms of prep? So like you're in college a minute at the moment. So like we'll say, like take class out of it. You have to do a bit of work, I'm guessing. What's your golf kind of schedule like?
Golf schedule, first thing in the morning, you'd kind of get up and you get to the gym and kind of, we're working with Robbie Cannon. So he is us doing our programs and stuff, and we're doing 4 days a week at that. So that's kind of, you get that out of the way in the morning, kind of get you out of bed. But then you probably go and play if you can, because the academy doesn't open to the afternoon. So ideally get out in the morning and play 9 holes or so. And it just depends. You'll play something or other. Like you're never going out playing 9 holes just for the sake of it. Like you're always working on something or playing some game to practice under pressure, basically, which is such a big one. Whereas people kind of get bogged down saying, oh, I'm going to go out and practice here and head out for 9 holes, when it's just, they're just out for a leisurely walk more than anything.
Yeah.
So it's really focusing on your intent and what you're actually trying to do. And you can reflect on it then afterward, which is the nice thing about it. And then after that, in the evening time, you kind of have to go and do a bit of college work, like you say. But you go back and you can reflect on the things then from that you kind of found out in your 9 holes in the morning, mm-hmm. and work on that in the range. And can always kind of get into short game work then in the evening, because the academy over in Carton, the putting green under the floodlights. So it's ideal. But you kind of follow your own program and what you're working on in your swing as well. And like little things always creep in and out. But that's kind of a standard kind of a day down here in college.
Yeah, so busy enough. So like how many hours a week would you reckon you're playing or practicing?
Oh, if you take playing out of it, you're definitely practicing 2 hours a day.
Okay.
And then, so like, whatever, 5 days a week, you're practicing 10 hours Monday to Friday, and you can add up whatever playing hours then on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of, if you're not, then you're falling behind.
Yeah.
Which is what everyone says. You just have to work hard, because I think one of the funny things, like you're talking to people just in college, none of the golfers, about like heading away on all these trips and whatnot. And every single time you're going to get, oh, must be nice. And, oh, well for some, basically. But it's all well and good saying that, but nobody sees the work that actually goes into it, which is a big one. Like people think, oh, you just head out for 9 holes or so, but Like it is so much more than that, and anyone will tell you that that's achieved anything. But it just takes hard work and determination, basically.
No, 100%. And I think like that's again like that's kind of some of the point of this kind of series, I suppose, is just to give people an insight into like. I think people just think that everyone turns up at events, and as I think I said at the start, we're like, you're just good at golf and you've played it kind of since you were young and you're just naturally good. But like the amount of time and effort like that goes into getting there first off and then having to compete under pressure, like it's just not as easy as people kind of think it is at all. Like,
yeah, I 100% agree with that, because like I'm blessed that I'm down in college and I have so much time to practice and play golf. But some of the guys that are playing in the events around Ireland, like, they're working full-time jobs, looking after families. Like, it's unbelievable the way these guys are able to go out and play and compete. And it's really admirable, and at the same time, because they really can shoot good scores too.
100%. So let's say you rock up in St. Andrews in 2 weeks' time. So, like, you're going for a practice round. What are you looking to gain from a practice round to help you throughout the tournament?
So, like I said, lucky enough to actually know the courses that we're going to be playing. So we'll get, it's around the Jubilee course, two rounds around the Jubilee, and then the final round around the Old Course. And so, like, the Jubilee is kind of, it's kind of a little quirky course. It's not overly long, but it can obviously be very difficult. But you just kind of go down there and... at least you just get the lie of the land and how the ball's reacting on the green, how the ball's reacting in the fairways, bunkers. And you don't have to, like, worry about the layout because you already know the place. So I think just getting the speed of the greens is the biggest thing around any length course, because usually the greens are huge, and they are huge in St. Andrews. So, you're going to have 100 feet plus bent putts. So just getting the pace right, and then if you can avoid three putts, then you're gaining strokes on the field. So getting the pace on the greens is the biggest one.
And then I suppose, like, a tournament finishes and winning it or not, then, so, like, what are you going back to your coaches with, and what are you kind of trying to debrief on?
So going back, regardless of the outcome, you'll kind of have goals for your own performance to reflect on afterward. And some of mine kind of right now are ones to stay in the moment and not really get ahead of yourself or live in the past. So you're just staying in the moment and focusing on what you're doing, and solely what you're doing. You're not worried about what your playing partners are doing, what anyone on the leaderboard's doing. And that's kind of a real thing, to just stay present and commit to each shot as it comes, because, like, you're out there for 4 or 5 hours at a time, and, like, it can be absolutely grueling out there. So managing your energy and putting your energy in the places that you need to put it is a big one.
And are you recording that then, like we'd say, more so if you go off track, are you taking note, or is it just kind of a mental note for you?
Nah, so whenever in my yardage book, I think it's TCWPTF, I always write at the top of it. So if your total club, wind, pitch, and then total, and then at the end of it, you have F for your focus.
Okay.
So, like, for every single shot, you'll track all those, and like that, those will all go into game forge, and it'll be on the computer then, statistics are in black and white for how you performed, where you lost strokes, where you gained strokes, what you done well, what you didn't do well. So you'll have that on the game forge app. And then the focus at the end is a great one, because whenever you start to leak shots and stuff like that there, you can look at your focus, and it's always really funny to see, because if your focus isn't really there, usually the outcome's not great. And usually whenever the outcome's great or good, then your focus has been pretty good as well before the shot. So it's a real interesting kind of correlation between the two.
That's grand. So when I see in Sligo, I want to look at that app, actually, just to dive a bit deeper into Ryan Griffin's brain and his focus up there. And see what's going on. But I suppose, like, even the focus one is a good one, because, like, it's going to make you be very honest with yourself in terms of how that hole or that shot has gone, because you have to score yourself in focus. And, like, it's almost easy when the shot doesn't go right or the shot does go right to kind of say, okay, that was the number, it wasn't. But like the focus, you have to be very honest with yourself in how much you want to improve to say, okay, I was just a bit off there. I wasn't thinking straight. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's a great point. Like, you could feel your ego and just write 9, 10, rank it really highly through the whole day and just like blame everything else. Like, oh, the wind caught that. Oh, someone was rattling tees in my backswing. And like, it is just being honest with yourself and knowing like if you had a good shot, if you committed to it or not. Because a lot of the time, if your focus is good, like you're not going, you might, it's not guaranteed that you're going to have a good golf shot.
Yeah.
But it's a lot better golf shot than it could have been if it wasn't, if you weren't focused.
Yeah. I suppose you mentioned Palmer Cup at the start, and we've kind of mentioned a couple of names. And one of the perks of that last year was you got to go and test your game over on the LIV qualifier. What did you make of that one?
The LIV qualifier was an unbelievable experience. So it was my first actual professional tournament.
Yeah.
So it was like the first 5 or 6 holes, I was as nervous as anything. Because Abu Dhabi Golf Club, the front nine is very tight. Or left and right, you're gonna find danger, and you could rack up a number. But it was unbelievable learning experience. And I kind of found that I was just trying to absorb everything.
Yeah.
And in turn, then I didn't play my best, but it was always just going to be an experience as well. It would have been great if you went and you done well. But obviously, like, the score and performance isn't everything. Like, just seeing how the pros prepare for tournaments and how they play the golf course, it's really interesting. Like, the guys that I played with, like, played a few holes with Wade Ormsby, played a few holes with Laurie Cantor, guys that are really well established on tour, and just seeing how they went about it is just really, really interesting and an unbelievable experience and opportunity to get.
And what did you take away from, I suppose, playing with pros? Like, does anything stick out in your mind? Kind of going, yeah, I can take that back and work on that.
The professional game, I kind of found it's a real selfish game. So the guys that were like the guys in the practice round, like Wade Ormsby, Laurie Cantor, they were all real nice guys, real chatty. But whenever like the shotgun started and everyone was out, then everyone was just each to their own. Nobody was anybody's friend. Yeah. Like, they're just there to put bread on the table, basically. And that's what professional golf is. But the two guys that I played with, a guy from India and an American guy, they didn't hit it as far as I thought they were going to hit it. I thought these guys were just going to bomb it.
Yeah.
But they just kind of played their own game, put the ball in position, and made a few putts. They don't make any silly mistakes. They don't make any soft bogeys. Like, the first few holes, I missed a couple soft up and downs for par to kind of keep the momentum going, and you make a silly 3-putt or something like that there. Mm. And that's just the sort of mistakes these guys don't make.
Yeah.
So, like, from 100 yards and in, they're all so, so solid. And I think that's where kind of I seen the weaknesses in my game, because on the range, like, you can hit it as good as anyone, but it's the actual 100 yards and in, how you actually score is the biggest takeaway in professional golf I see now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's all about getting the ball in the hole, and like, it depends. Yeah. And like, sometimes, as you said, like, you can hit it as well as them. It's just figuring out, I suppose, like, the final detail of getting it all done. But yeah, no, so Ryan, best of luck for the year. I'm sure I'll see you plenty over the course of the summer on fairways, and we'll get more videos of that swing looking beautiful that you don't think it is. And ball flight. So every time I'm behind you, your ball can go no higher than 10 feet in the air, okay?
Yeah, absolutely, Gary. Absolutely. Don't care if it's straight down one on a beautiful day, that ball is just going to be a stinger every time.
It's going low. No, but let's go over in St. Andrews, and I'll chat to you very soon again, Ryan, my man.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate it, buddy. All right.